Amin Raina here from Sage Investors, and this is take number 17. Well, right now the narrative du jour in the investing universe has everything to do with this whole debt ceiling deadline that's impending, and we're hearing terms like, especially from like Treasury Department people, Treasury Secretary talking about, well, if the debt ceiling isn't raised by, they're talking like June 1st, that, you know, they throw in words like cataclysmic, apocalyptic, catastrophe, crisis, all these kind of bad things that seem to be going to happen if this thing isn't increased. So what I wanted to talk about here today is just kind of, let's just take the temperature down a little bit and just try to understand what this all means and what are really the impact. Let's just try to game it out in terms of potential impact this could have on the markets, on the economy, as we make investment decisions. Regularly, if you've been, you know, following me and following my takes over the last few months, I have, you know, earlier on in the year, I was, this is one of the narratives that I thought would be getting played out. It wasn't getting a lot of play earlier in the year, but now as we're getting closer to the deadline, people are starting to get a little bit more angst around this whole debt ceiling thing. And so let's talk about it. Let's just try to figure out what it means. So what does it mean? A lot of interesting takes out there. I just wanted to kind of cite a couple of, one person actually that I found who had a really nice take on it, on trying to laying it all out. And that's Nick Majuli. If you follow his Dollars and Data blog, really good read. And he did a nice, pretty nice job kind of explaining it, bringing it down a couple of notches to explain what it means. And so, I can attribute some of that thought process. I kind of have the same mindset as what he's thinking too on it. So what does this mean? So normally the government, and I'm talking to your government, talking about the U.S. government, because this is where it's all coming from. U.S. government is mandated by law that it can only borrow a certain amount of money every year. And what's traditionally happened is once the government gets to a point where it's at a ceiling, at the limit that's been set, it can't borrow anymore. And so what's been happening over the last decades, I guess, is every time the U.S. Government's borrowing limits are, you know, getting there, reaching a threshold, reaching that max, that cap, the government just, passes a law and extends it and just increases it. And so that's what's been happening the last 10, 20 years. It's just been this cap. And that, in the way to think about it is it's like a salary cap in a way. And so instead, this is like a debt cap. And so, you know, when you think about it in sports, teams are not allowed to spend up to a certain amount on salaries, on player salaries. Well, this is kind of the same kind of principle, except it's with debt, with borrowing. And so what's happened is normally earlier around January of this year, the government was getting at a point where it was it couldn't borrow anymore. And so normally they would have gone in, passed the law and done all that. But now with the House of Representatives essentially now in Republican hands, they have started to be a little bit douchey about all of this stuff and said, you know what, we're not going to extend it. You guys got to figure it out. And we got to start negotiating and getting your act in order. So that's what they've been coming back to the government. So since January, the U.S. government has not had the ability to issue more debt. Now, does that mean, like, the question is why haven't things stopped at that point in January? Well, there's other tools, there's other mechanical things the Treasury Department can use, and they call it extraordinary measures. They can do other things to generate cash, and a lot of it involves things like redeeming investments from pensions, selling investments. Essentially, it's just basically a big shell game, taking money from pot A and moving it into pot B, freeing money up some places to do that. And so the government has those tools in place to kind of like, you know, get away with things until the debt ceiling cap is increased, which it still hasn't. So what is happening right now is there is a deadline in place where essentially you know, the government's been doing all these kind of little shell games to free money up, but it gets to a point where you can't do it anymore. It just is not logistically feasible to just keep doing that, taking money from pot A and putting it into pot B. So right now the Treasury Department is saying that that magic moment, that X day where they cannot do these kind of financial shell games is coming up around June. Some people say June 1st, but then some people you read about say June 8th, some people say June 15th. It's just all over the place, but it's coming up where they can't get away with this shell money, moving shell game kind of thing. So, you know, what solves this is, again, going back to what was supposed to have been done in January, but is not being done, and that's increasing the debt limit that the government can use to borrow, increasing the debt cap. And right now they're negotiating. And so the executive branch of the government, which is the president, and the Congress part, which is the House of Representatives, which is the one that kind of has a little bit of leverage right now because it's Republican controlled. And then the Senate obviously is Democratic in control. So there's, again, here's the, you know, the polarization, the log jams, you know, coming full force. And so, you know, all the politics that you think about is in play right now. You know, the red pill, the blue pill, all of that, they're negotiating. And but the reality is, if they don't get a deal in time by June, let's just say by June, a whole bunch of stuff is going to happen. So the question is, for the layperson here, is what is going to happen? You know, the term cataclysmic, catastrophe, like crisis, like what does that mean? Like, what does that look like for us? And it's not just for us, you know, for Americans, because this is an American generated issue right now, fiscal financial issue. But there's a lot of trickle down effects that impact the broader global financial markets, global economies. There's a lot of potential for some things to go kind of get really weird. So what happens? So what happens means right now government is able to, you know, when interest payments are due, principal needs to be paid back on bonds, on government bonds, government's doing that. They're paying that. And forget about how they're doing it, they're doing it. But if they get to the point where they cannot, you know, have the money to pay these interest payments, pay these, then it's what they call a default. You're just defaulting. It's just like you and I, like if we fail to make a credit card payment, or we fail to make our mortgage payment, we're essentially defaulting on the loan that we've taken on. So that's the basic impact, is there would be a default. Now there's two kind of defaults out there. One is the actual default that I've talked about, an actual default where the government literally cannot pay interest payments, can't pay bonds, can't pay the bonds back that they've borrowed or the principal back, you know, can't pay out benefits, can't pay their employees, all those kinds of wonderful things that are, you know, it just the ability for the U.S. government to do that will stop. That's a total full-on default. There's also another kind of default, which is called a technical default, which is the government will still be able to pay interest payments on their bonds, principal back. They'll prioritize the payments, but things like pensions, government support programs, benefits, paying the government employees, that would be stopped, and or not outright stopped, but delayed, push it down the road until, you know, ultimately the government has the ability to raise the money and can pay those things back. So you would have a technical default, which is kind of like a partial default, which would involve basically prioritizing what's the most important things to pay. And really the most important thing to pay for the government is making sure the interest payments on their bonds is paid and principal is being paid back. And that's the big one. And that's the one that really the markets will pay attention to, because ultimately bonds, the economy, interest rates, currencies all play off of really what bonds are priced at. And if bonds now, the U.S. government, which is considered to be one of the most stable economies, stable governments, stable financial systems in the world, has the inability to pay off its debts, that creates flags. If they can't do it, then what's going to happen with everything else? So ultimately, what's the impact? So if they default, if they don't get an agreement, the debt ceiling stays the same, the Treasury has the inability to pay things, pay their bills, and have to do a technical default or an actual default, what does that look like? What is the impact? Well, first of all, it's just a confidence factor. Investors, governments around the world, locally, municipally, you name it, would start to start questioning a little bit about the United States. They would be, why would I want to lend money to the United States if I don't know, think I'm going to get my interest? I'm not going to get my interest payments. I don't even know if I'm going to get my money back. It's a confidence factor. It's a trust factor. And so what the primary trigger would be just an outflow of people selling US-based assets. US currency, the US dollar, would start going down. Would start depreciating, going down. Investors would just want to get out of stocks, owning US stocks. Anything assets denominated in US dollars are not going to be too popular. And ultimately, those are going to start deflating. So think about certain assets that you sell off. You sell off a stock, you sell off a Microsoft or something like that. Okay, the price of Microsoft stock goes down. The impact is going to be localized to the shareholders of that company. But if you start selling bonds, if people start selling government bonds, treasury bills and things like that, well, bonds have an inverse relationship. So price and interest rates are inversely related. So if people start selling their US bonds, that's going to mean the US bond prices are going to go down. And that means interest rates and the yields on those bonds are going to go up. And so if people start selling, so that's one fact, higher interest rates. And we know the impact of higher interest rates, which is ultimately going to make cost of capital go up. And then you trickle it into the bond, into the investment side and the asset side, the values of those stocks and those assets are going to start depreciating because you're going to be discounting them at a higher rate. Other impact also of a default would be if people are starting to sell their US dollars and US dollar denominated assets, well, that's going to decrease the value of the US dollar. It's going to make people living in the US, imports are going to be a lot more expensive for them. So higher costs for importing goods, higher interest rates. These are inflationary things. And we all have been talking about inflation. Central banks all around the world are trying to bring inflation down. It's too high. And they have already increased rates. So guess what the impact is if there's a default and people start bailing out of US dollar-based assets, you're going to have higher interest rates. You're going to even create a greater scene. Like already the markets are pricing in somewhere a recession. This is just going to elevate it. And this is may accelerate the concept of a recession. So if you're getting a recession, you could probably start seeing higher unemployment. Profits starting going down. You could see the trickle down effect of all of these things that are happening. So that's, you know, from a funds flow, from an asset perspective, that's what a default can do. Other issues that could potentially emerge down the road is credit rating. Again, the United States has the value of their debt, US debt, carries with it very high credit ratings. Ironically, not a AAA credit rating. US, we went through the same for people who are newer to this stuff. We went through this similar exercise in 2011. It didn't get to the point of a default in a sense, but it really rattled the markets a lot, and it rattled a lot of the credit agencies, the creditors around the world. And to the point where in 2011, the US, which at that time had a AAA credit rating, which is the top of the, you know, most reliable, excellent credit rating, got downgraded to it. So I believe it's the AA plus, and I believe it's still at a AA plus. So what the impacts are is if this default thing plays out, then it's possible that the US debt may credit rating might go down even further. And ultimately, if what that means is if a credit rating, the lower your credit rating, the higher risk that might be associated with the assets in that particular country, just going to mean higher cost of capital. And ultimately that is going to put pressure on the value of US dollar-based assets in terms of valuations. So that's one element. So the credit rating side, the higher cost of capital, long-term cost of capital. Because even if they make a deal and, you know, life goes on, the fact of the matter is the perception out there by the markets, by investors, by creditors, is going to be the US is not necessarily the safest place to park your money, maybe as it once was. And so it's perceptions. It's credibility that's going to suffer. Operationally, if they have to start defaulting, I talked about it earlier that they may have to stop paying bills, stop paying out benefits. Maybe they have to start reducing benefits. They might have to fire a lot of employees. that work in the government. It could impact benefits, those elements there. Then there's the political side of it. And at the end of the day, this is all about politics. And right now, you've got a Republican Party there that wants to get back in the White House. You got an election coming up next year. What better way to make the current government look like a bunch of dum-dums by just going through this whole thing, orchestrating this kind of crisis, and then basically saying, you know what? These guys don't know what the heck they're doing. Elect us. We'll fix everything. And so ultimately, we could see, and I talked about this as one of my Black Swan kind of events that isn't getting enough play, the return of the MAGA, the return of the Mad King, and all of the minions around it emerging from the rocks and stones and caves where they've been hiding for the last 3 years. So that's out there now. So these are some long-term durable issues. And again, play it back to an investing side of it. With this entire dynamic in play in the United States, do you want to park your money there? Do you want to invest your money there? And so these are the questions that will start getting triggered if they start going down this road and defaulting on things. So ultimately, you know, let's game it out. A default, at some level of a default, would devalue the US dollar. It would make their exports cheaper, which is good from an economic perspective, that side of it. But then you're dealing with a lower dollar, which tends to play into higher commodity prices. So you could start seeing things like gold, oil, the metals start getting a higher bid. You're going to start potentially seeing existing debt covenant debt products out there getting restructured because of if the government has that inability, if that perception or that inability to pay their interest payments and inability to pay the principal is out there. You're going to start seeing some negotiating going around with different companies. And again, it comes back to credibility. And so that's a big aspect of it. And then the ultimate idea is government spending is going to drop, which, you know, some schools of thought from a Republican side, they're probably happy to see that. But the reality is you're going to see lower government spending, and government spending is a factor that plays into economic growth. Now, what it's being spent on and those elements, that's a whole other conversation. But the fact of the matter is, you could potentially see government spending drop. So ultimately, if they actually play this out and actually get to a point where they can't pay their bills, it's a bad thing. And so the question we all ask, because it's never happened, is do they really want to go there? Like, is it really in the government's interest? Is it really in the Republican Party's interest to want to just bankrupt the United States or get them to a point where they have to start defaulting on their payments? And I really don't think it's never happened before. And so I really don't think they would go for this kind of nuclear option. I don't think they would just outright stop. You know, my take is I don't think they're just going to outright stop and pay their bills. I think they might, at the very worst, we could see potentially a technical default. Nick Majuli, who wrote about this, I think that's where he sees it going. I could see it going worst case scenario being there. And so at that point, if it does go there, then yeah, we're going to see a scenario where a lot of assets are going to just start getting dumped and start getting thrown out. And ultimately, a deal is going to get done. It's just how much damage is going to be caused at that point. So from an investing perspective, it doesn't look great. There could be all kinds of assets that are just going to start getting dumped. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. There's a lot of, the markets aren't really doing anything. They're just kind of like flatlining. Despite the fact there's all kinds of earnings that are out there, all kinds of economic data, inflation data, like nobody's looking at that right now. They're all figuring out what the heck's going on in Washington. And so there is that worry right now that people are positioning to be more liquid and just positioning for the worst case scenario. And ultimately, the worst case scenario is a devaluation of the U.S. currency. It's ultimately a devaluation of U.S. dollar-based assets, which could result in a lot of quality assets getting thrown out with the bathwater. And so one of the things I'm looking at right now is I'm just kind of sitting back and taking a look at the landscape, because usually at moments like this, people start panicking a little bit. Opportunities always tend to emerge. And so, you know, this is why I tell people it's very critical, you know, as you're mapping out your playbook, is to always have a list of companies and stocks and ETFs that you feel are, you know, high quality, high value potential assets, because moments are going to come where opportunities are going to present themselves. And having that list is just, you're ready to go. You're ready to execute your playbook. And so right now, you know, the sentiment right now for me is I'm just kind of sitting back and just watching stuff playing out. And I'm not trying to get too aggressive and try to get too fancy with things. I think the way my portfolios are set up are okay right now, but I'm looking for opportunities and I'm looking for opportunities to jump on things. If the market chooses to just kind of throw things out with the bathwater, opportunities always tend to emerge. And so ultimately my playbook is all about quality. And so if certain quality assets are getting thrown out, getting dumped, I got to look at them and have a look at them. And if they make sense for my playbook and for my, you know, objectives that I'm trying to achieve, then, you know, I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to add to them and bring them in. So it's a very nervous time. I think at the end of the day, something is going to get done because I don't think either party or nobody really wants to go there. But again, as investors, we always have to play out. You always have to game out the other side of it, of what could go wrong. And you kind of have to have that in the back of your mind and kind of be ready for it and kind of, you know, risk manage yourself, risk manage your portfolios so that at least if there is damage, the damage is going to be minimal. And so that's the beauty of having a diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, assets, ETFs, broad-based, you know, low-cost assets should shelter you and buffer you from these type of moments that we're kind of into right now. So that's kind of where it all is. I hope that would be is helpful for you and giving you a little bit of some context and perspective of what's happening right now. And hopefully that'll give you a little bit of idea in terms of bringing it back to your own personal investment decisions that you're making right now on how you should do things. One thing that's definitely for sure is just whatever we're doing, whatever your playbook is, whatever the path you're going on, the journey you're going on, your investing journey, the key thing is to stay on that path, stay true to your playbook. Moments like these are blips. They could have short-term impacts, but the worst thing we can do is react and start throwing all kinds of stuff up in the air and start making emotional decisions. So hopefully what I've shared with you today, just kind of this mind map of all of this debt ceiling issues and angst that's going around, it's just going to give you a little bit of framework, a little bit of depth of understanding in terms of what's happening in perspective and context. So now you hopefully can, this will help you hopefully be able to frame your decisions a little bit more logically and rationally and just kind of take out some of that emotion that is getting there. And each day that passes by where there's no agreement is just going to be additional day of emotion starting to drive a lot of things in the markets over the next couple of weeks. So stay the course and just stay calm and keep staying true to your playbook and things will be okay. That's all I got for you today. If you want some more information, some more info on my takes, you can find me on my website, sageinvestors.ca. You can also find more information about the coaching programs that I offer, my investment coaching programs, as well as my online courses that I do teach. I also do teach some in-person courses. So you can find some more information on the types of courses I teach with respect to buying and selling stocks and ETFs. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is @SageInvestors. I tend to drop my takes on there also in real time, as well as the decisions that I make on my investment decisions there in real time. You can also find me on Facebook. We have a webpage there on Facebook as well as LinkedIn. Just do a search for Sage Investors. So that's it. That's all. Take it easy. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for watching in. This is Amin Rain again from Sage Investors, and we'll catch you again another time. Bye-bye.